open with hymn number 16. There you go. Go ahead and try it now. That should be fine. Thank you. Our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
In my distress I called upon the Lord. He heard my voice from his temple. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. For you will save the humble people, but will break down haughty looks. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, and sing praises to your name.
Faithfully in thy vineyard, shun sin and all offense, obediently keep thy word and do thy will, and put our whole and only trust in thy grace, which thou hast bestowed upon us so plenteously through thy Son Jesus Christ, that we may obtain eternal salvation through him who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this day is found in the 9th chapter of Jeremiah, the 23rd through the 24th verse. Thus says the Lord, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord."
The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken them. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail.
The epistle lesson for this day is found in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 24th verse through the 10th chapter, verse 5. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and bring it into subjection, lest, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Out of the depths have I cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be healed.
The Holy Gospel for this day is found in the 20th chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 16th verse. Like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive." So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers, give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." And those who came And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more. And And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But he answered them, one of them, and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I will give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" So the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. Here ends the gospel. Our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn 372. Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 20th chapter of Matthew, the first through the 16th verse. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive." So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." And when those who came were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed they would have received more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. May we see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, Burger King advertises at their establishment that you can have it your own way. Now, I imagine that they're talking about the way their food is prepared. I doubt you could have their food without paying for it. But few people really expect to get everything for free, but everyone loves to have it their own way. And they are willing to pay to get it their own way. If the kingdom of heaven was like the kingdom of earth, then perhaps Jesus would have said that the kingdom of heaven is like a hamburger stand. But if you pay close attention to the kingdom parables of Jesus, you will find that the kingdom of heaven is never like the kingdom of this world. Therefore, Jesus does not praise those who want to have things their own way, with their own works, the due payment for their labors. In fact, if that is the way that you want it, you will soon find yourself in the same position as those workers who arrived early in the day, who labored long hours and expected that in the end they should have received more than everybody else because they did more. The Lord of the vineyard answers them, "Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you." Now none of this seems fair at all. What kind of a vineyard is our Lord running that no matter how much work the people do, he gives the same pay everyone? Is God some sort of communist? Does he reward the lazy and punish the hardworking? So it would seem. Or at least that would be true if the kingdom of heaven were the same as the kingdom of this earth. Here in the world, you earn your wages by your hard work. But not so in the kingdom of heaven. Now, there are some things that look the same in the kingdom of heaven. There is work to be done. There are workers who are called to go out, some early, some late in the day. But when it comes time to hand out the rewards, the payment to the workers, or their wages, as our text says, suddenly we find that things are not the same at all in God's kingdom. In the kingdom of heaven, we first see that no one goes around looking for a job, looking to join the church. No one invites himself into the vineyard. fact, we see something extraordinary. We know that God has stewards, but he himself goes out and he calls men into his church. You may think that you were working very hard before, busy with all the labors of this life, but as God sees it, you are standing around all day, idle, doing nothing. Yeah, you may indeed be doing much work in the kingdom of this earth, and God may even be using your work to help your neighbor. But none of this helps you at all. None of the labors which you do on this earth will gain you anything in the kingdom of heaven. For all of your efforts, you are still standing around idle all day. And so God comes to you, and he invites you to work in his vineyard. And whatever is right, he will pay you. Notice that God does not promise to give you what you deserve, but what is right. Now that you are working in God's kingdom, surely it will be different. You're not working in the world. You're working for heaven. Of course, God does not count any of your worldly labors, but it's easy for you to imagine that it's different in the church. Everything you do here certainly counts. And so, when it comes time to receive your wages, you have very high expectations. You've worked hard. You've borne the burden and heat of the day. You've done a lot of good for the kingdom of heaven. You've fed and clothed the poor and the needy. You have given your offerings. You attended the divine service week after week. You don't curse and swear like that last bunch that came into the church just a bit ago. I'm speaking hypothetically, so don't stop. So don't start looking around. You keep your lust in check. You don't get drunk. You don't start fights. This was a lot of work. Many of you have done this your whole life long. So surely now that it comes time to receive your reward, God will have so much to give you. You see the reward that he gives others. People who are only new Christians, who've hardly had any experience in the church, who have not tithed as much or maybe even at all, who have been absent many Sundays, who have yet to overcome many of their sins of weakness, such as swearing or drinking or lust, and yet God rewards them. They have a part in his kingdom just as you would expect, but you have done so much more. So you should get so much more. But you find instead that you receive the exact same thing. You get the same gospel, the same baptism, the same Lord's Supper, the same absolution, the same promise of eternal life that the new Christians get. You tell yourself perhaps you should get something more. Maybe the gift of prophecy, or speaking in tongues, or something better than all the Jesus stuff that everyone gets. What did Jesus promise when he called his laborers into his church? Did he promise equal pay for equal work? No, he promised to give what is right. What is right is far better than what is deserved. For our God is a gracious God. And what is right? Jesus is right. And so God gives to you the rightness, or as we say, the righteousness of his son Jesus. He is such a gracious God that he offers the same righteousness to everyone alike, in a way that all can receive it, in the gospel of the forgiveness of sins when it is preached, in the waters of baptism, in the absolution of the pastor, in the body and blood of the Lord's Supper, given and shed for your sins. All receive the same grace of God, the same goodness and mercy, and no one is exempted, even though they may be called into the kingdom at the very last hour of their lives. Is this fair? Is that all, they ask? Shouldn't I get more? Where's the really good stuff? Can't God see how much I have done for him? Let's think about the nature of this complaint, just in case anyone still thinks that God is being unfair. First, consider how the early workers regard the reward. which the master of the vineyard has given them. They look at the denarius in the hand of the master steward, and they are ready to cast it away. In the kingdom of heaven, the reward which we receive at the hand of God is nothing less than his greatest and his best gifts. But those who have no faith sneer at the greatness of God's gifts. It is only by faith that a man can look upon the treasures which God gives to them in his word and sacraments and find them to be great treasures indeed. To ask, is that all? Is nothing less than to call the greatest treasure trash. Is it truly a thing of little worth that God, in his mercy, has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save sinners? Is the life and suffering and death of Jesus of so little value that we can ever ask, is that all? Anyone who looks upon this treasure and wants more has no idea what it is that he has been given. And why doesn't he know the greatness of this gift? Because instead of seeing the greatness of the gift, he is looking at the greatness of his own labor and finding some value in it. Consider the difference between the man who is called in the last hour and one of these complainers. The workers called in late look at their wages, and they are humbled. They know that they have not done anything to deserve such pay. This is pure grace and mercy. Their heart is glad because the master of the vineyard is so good. He gives such good things to those who do not deserve them. And so it is in the church that the real sinners, the ones with a past, the kind of people whom the New Testament calls the tax collectors, the prostitutes, or adulterers, these come into the kingdom of heaven and are very glad to be there. They have no illusions that God is rewarding them for their hard labors. They know their own sins. They know that it is only because of the mercy of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, that they have found a place in his church. But what the early laborers and the fine, upstanding citizens who are complaining about their wages do not realize is that they do not deserve the mercy of God any more than these others. Indeed, if they truly had it their way, and they got what they deserved as they demanded, that they should be cast into hell and never receive a single good thing from the hand of God. Franz Pieper once wrote that he who hands in a bill to God on the basis of his works thereby hands in his request for dismissal from the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God, only grace counts. So it is that anyone who looks at the wondrous gifts of God in Christ Jesus and says, is that all? May soon find themselves with nothing at all. To these ungrateful people who do not know what mercy they have been given, the master of the vineyard says, take what is yours and go on your way. I wish to give this last man the same as to you. And the last shall be first, and the first last. Many are called, but few are chosen. Yes, these indeed are sent away, out of the vineyard, out of the Christian church. They will not partake of the goodness of God again. And that is by their own choice, because they find the gifts of God in Christ to be empty and useless. Their eye was evil, and therefore all they could see is evil, even when they looked upon the mercies of God. So then how in the world can God say to them, take what is yours and go your way? What is it that they take with them as they are cast out? They take with them exactly what everyone else received, only they find no joy and no goodness in it. Because the mercy of God is given without condition. He does not offer with one hand, but he takes away with another hand. The mercies of forgiveness of sins and life and salvation are just as valid to the unbeliever as to the believer. They do not become true just because they believe them. Therefore, God does not say, well, then I no longer forgive you. Give me back your wages. by no means. When he pronounces the forgiveness of sins, who can contradict God? Nevertheless, that precious gift can be of no benefit to the person who receives it unless they receive it by faith. Even so, even though there are unbelievers and hypocrites in the church, even though they receive the same gospel and sacraments as the saints do, they get no benefit from it, for they do not receive them in faith, but in self-righteousness, with pride in their own accomplishments. And they sneer at this same righteousness which the real sinners receive with joy. Think of it. What more could they have than God has already given them? He has given them the life of his only begotten Son. In the gospel, he gives them the fruits of that life in the forgiveness of sins. And he gives them eternal life. The promise is not that God has been stingy and has given little, but that these ungrateful people do not recognize what God has already given them. No, how often have we been guilty of this same disregard of God's mercies? Who among us can say that we have not at times made light of our sins, maybe even often, made light of the gospel, of our baptism, of the Lord's Supper? Therefore, repent of any callous disregard for the treasures of God in Christ Jesus. Examine yourself and see that if God were to give you what you deserved, if he were to let you have it your way, you truly would be damned. And now look with new repentant eyes upon this precious gift, that which is right, the righteousness of the Son of God, your Lord Jesus Christ, which God has given to you freely, not because you have done great works for him, but because he is merciful. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O God, Heavenly Father, who art our rock and our fortress, our life and our salvation, and who art plenteous in mercy toward all them that call upon thee, we give thanks and praise that thou hast called us unto to faith in Jesus Christ our Redeemer, made us citizens in his eternal kingdom, and clothed us with his righteousness. Preserve us therein, fill us with the fruits of righteousness. Make us living epistles of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank thee that thou hast called us to be laborers in thy vineyard and hast assured us that our labor for thee is not in vain. Grant that our work may be acceptable in thy sight. Give us a heart to accept every service, wisdom to perform it well, and the mind to do it faithfully. Give us gladness for all who come soon or late to join us in the labors of thy church. Give us grace to welcome them as brothers in Christ and co-heirs of his salvation. Give us patience and strength to bear the burden and heat of the day. Keep us under thy providence and care, and as we pass through this world's sea of trials and tribulations, may we find true refreshment at the fountain of life and truth, which is Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that we always remember that Christ is the only head of thy church. Help us in every temptation to be faithful to him, steadfast in our faith, and to acquit ourselves as true soldiers of the cross. Grant that by daily contrition and repentance, we might drown our old man of sin with the same life-giving stream of thy gospel, whereby our spirits are refreshed. Give us the mind of Christ, that we might not glory in this world, but in the wisdom, power, and riches of the death and resurrection of thy Son, Jesus. Be with us, O God, in all that we do. Strengthen and counsel us in our daily toil. Shelter us in our homes. Guide us in our travels. Shield us in our afflictions. Comfort us in our sorrows and hear us in our prayers. May we run the race that is set before us with faith and courage, so that we may obtain the crown of life by faith in Jesus Christ. We pray also for Linda Deers, who is at this time traveling to Idaho, that she may receive treatment for her ALS. Be with her, O Lord, as she is attended to by the physicians whom you have appointed to be her caregivers. Grant that you may give success to their work. But if it be thy will that she not recover from her bodily illness, give her the faith to trust in thy mercy and to know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Accept now the sacrifices of broken spirits and contrite hearts, and grant unto us thy grace and truth in the saving knowledge of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray all these things. Amen. We sing hymn number 329. Thank you. salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord, through whom, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, peace of the Lord be with you always.
I got it, Scott.
Oh,
strengthen and preserve you.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 47.
Thank you.
with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.